It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, alrighty, AMA, as we do every single Wednesday at this time, you ask, we answer.
Ask Me Anything brought to you by Busch Auto Group. Shop a wide selection of Nissans, Infinities, and hundreds of pre-owned vehicles at BushAutoGroup.com. Philly rides with us.
I just want to say this, James, before you start firing questions off that came in social media. There's two real questions of the day. What happened to our Phils, and what should be done about it? All right, I want to pose that to everyone listening, 215-592-9494. What happened to our Phils, and what should be done about it? All right, more of that talk shortly. James, what questions have come in today on social media?
All right, on Twitter, GoBirds86 says, what was everyone's favorite moment from the Olympic Games in Paris?
So I saw really about half of it because, you know, the crews didn't have, it was really annoying. We didn't have live Olympic coverage. So I would actually go back to the opening ceremony, watching the boats come through on the water. Because it
that is best Olympics in forever in the opening ceremony.
But do you understand?
That is a terrible answer,
man. Do you understand why, John?
No, you are.
Because
I was in immediately.
I was interested immediately. Like, I'll look back 20 years from now, 40 years from now, I'm going to be an old man someday, and say, what was the moment, if I keep with this, that turned me back around on the Olympics? I can honestly tell you, it was watching the boats go through Paris in the opening ceremonies.
Wow.
That's when they had me back.
Not me.
Oy.
Boy.
What's your answer, Joe?
No, I loved, and my son was in the stands for the gold medal game, the USA beating France for basketball, men's basketball.
That's
he was
awesome.
In the stands. Watched Joel become the first Sixer to officially ever win gold. That was awesome. It was awesome to watch Steph Curry and LeBron James take that team on their shoulders. The shots by Steph, those four in a row, whatever, down the stretch.
Yeah.
It felt like history, and
nuts.
I'm glad to have seen it.
Devin, what was your favorite moment?
Watching the U.S. women's national team and Alex Coffey's sister, Sam Coffey, win gold. That was really cool.
Hold on. U.S. women's national team. Do we have a sport?
Soccer.
All right,
USNT. That's what they call themselves.
That's what they call themselves.
They call them the U.S. national team.
Yes.
So the basketball team's not the U.S. national
team? No, they're
basketball
USA
team.
Women's basketball.
Yeah. Oh, come on. They really go by these ridiculous names?
Yeah, they've got the moniker and everything.
So the soccer gals have claimed... Yeah. The U.S. national...
U.S. women's national team and the men
are that's
U.S.
nonsense.
Men's national team, even though they
if
never
I'm a rugby player, I'm freaking offended.
Okay.
Why do they? It's like watching, NBC. It's football night in America.
Watching U.S. women's soccer. There you go.
Okay.
Win gold. But
fair
basketball
enough.
Was also awesome.
No, I'm just playing around. James, what's the next question?
Answer
the question. What's your favorite
moment? I think the Serbia game was the best Olympic basketball game of all time.
Semifinals.
Ever. I think the history of Olympics basketball, I think it's the best game ever.
Rhea, what was your favorite moment?
Was great.
I mean, the Team USA was great, but right before I turned on that game, they had the women's 4x400.
Yep.
It was, the U.S. women were so far ahead, the other runners weren't on the TV
screen.
Cool.
Yeah.
I
loved
it.
We do dominate in track.
All right, Edward Mangold on Facebook. Joe, what did you wear for formal night on the cruise?
I was like Jack in Titanic. Hockley, give me a suit. Give me a suit jacket.
Uh-huh.
No, I brought a jacket. I was good. I knew to be prepared. I wore it one time.
I'm not
looking to be freaking
fancy schmancy.
You know, I don't need to do all that on a cruise.
All right, one more.
Was it a bathing suit?
In honor of the Phillies, Joe.
What?
Or in dishonor of the Phillies, it should say.
What
is the most disappointing Philly season of all time?
Phillies or Philadelphia?
Philly. He said Philly season of
all
time.
Well, obviously, for those that lived through it, it has to be 64 Phils. Has to be. Now, I didn't see that. I didn't experience it. In my lifetime, I feel pretty confident it was last year's Eagles.
I think so, too.
I don't know how... listen, you have different types of losses. You have losses, like, at the very end.
Like, the Super Bowl was just as disappointing in a different way.
I mean, sometimes it's like 97 Flyers in the Cup. Like, they dominate all year. They get to the Cup. They don't show up. So, that's a different type of disappointment. Eagles in 22, about to win the Super Bowl, don't. Phils in 22, close to winning the World Series, don't. So you have those types of disappointments. But if you ask me, Grandmaster Hammer, is that the nickname? Most disappointing season of my lifetime, I'd have to say last year's Eagles. And let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. If we are seeing a repeat, I don't know what to say. I can't fathom it happening twice in a row. But I know this. It's on a lot of our minds. And with that,
it's not going to. I have a question for you.
Yes.
Did you fall deeper in love when you were on vacation?
We're not going there again. And with that, AMA, we shut it down. I'm in too bad a Phillies freaking mood to mess around with that crap.
It sounds like a yes.
No. We did have a caller if you guys were like getting married or while you were on vacation.
There was a lot of talk.
Yeah, people were invested in the romance.
A lot of talk along those lines.
Well, good for
them. Including John Ritchie.
Okay.
Yes! Oh, yes!
Fair enough. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. I mean, this Phillies thing is... Because I know there's a certain sense of don't completely freak out when your team's 19 games above 500 and 6 games in front of first place.
Well, there's a recent example. Last year, the Texas Rangers at one point lost 10 in a row. They blew the division. They were up like 6 games or something on the Astros. They blew the division. The Astros actually won the division. And then the Rangers went on a run. Like, so it is, baseball's weird like
but
that.
Here's the
if
other...
you want any light.
But James, here's the other thing. There's us as Philadelphia sports fans knowing since this after the Sixers won in 83, we've had 41 years worth of seasons, times that by four teams, 164, take out a strike, and well, no, include the strike, take out the well, include the Flyers with no season in 1 year. 164 seasons, thereabout, maybe off by one or two. Two championships.
Oh, I'm with you, buddy.
This was supposed to be a year. It's not a year you must win the title, but this is supposed to be a year you have the parts freaking there to go get a damn championship. And the way they're playing, and I know that possibility still exists. I'm not saying it doesn't, but the way they're playing right now is dead.
Like,
dead.
I would bet on them lose in the first round today before I'd bet on them to win the World Series. You know what I mean?
All right, to the phones. Tom in Dover. Tom, I agree with that, James. Tom,
that's
good morning.
That's a shame.
Yeah, that's a shame.
But the positive point is they've got 43 games to figure out how to regain the spark that drove them for the first half of the season.
I know.
They did play by far the best baseball we saw in MLB.
They did. Tom, go ahead, buddy.
Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing?
Bad morning, but hello.
Well, bad, too. Yeah.
Hey, listen, I told Rube a long time ago, man, that Sosa needs to play a little bit more, man. He does. He needs to play a lot more.
I think it's a good idea, platooning concept at second base. As Bryson Stott tries to figure his way through this, we know Edmundo Sosa is more than capable of doing his part.
But I want to ask this question. This goes to everyone listening. Should Sosa be playing half the games against right-handed pitchers?
Maybe.
Because if your idea is let's platoon him and he starts against lefties, he's going to start twice every 10 days or something, three times every 10 days. But Stott's been so bad, does Stott deserve to play, you know, when a righty pitches 7 out of 10 games, that Stott gets all 7 of those starts?
Think about what we're seeing, though.
He's been so bad.
Let's take advantage of every aspect
we can. Think about how crazy that is, like how bad this team is right now.
But James, who are you going to move up?
That's my
point.
You're not moving
up Rojas.
I'm saying they're so bad across the board that this guy we're talking about sending to the minors or benching bats fifth against right-handed pitching.
So look, I guess Castellanos should be moved up in the short term.
But he struggles whenever he gets moved up. Every single time that dude gets moved up in the lineup, he stops hitting again. I would just leave Castellanos where he is and just hope for the best.
All right, Tom, go ahead, buddy. Let's hear from you.
Joe.
What?
In any other sport, man, as bad as Stott is playing, man, he would have been benched by now, man. For real. He's playing terrible out there. It's like he don't even know what's going on right now. You know,
but one of the problems, Tom, is you do have to have someone to replace him. And just know this, as much as we like Sosa, we know he is not actually good against right-handed pitching. He's not. Man, so you know what I mean?
That would be a chance we would have to take.
Listen, I'm open-minded to that, but I'm just saying, let's not act like these solutions are great. I mean, I just said move Castellanos up, and Seltzer tells me he stinks there. I mean, you know, like, let's put it this way, Trey Turner, you can say, all right, he shouldn't bat two. Then who does? Yeah. What, am I moving Stott to two? Am I moving freaking Rojas from 9 to 2?
Do you know Rojas has a better batting average than Bryson Stott.
Well, that's a disgrace for Stott. That's a that's a disgrace. That's a disgrace.
Well, I also just looked it up, and believe it or not, Edmundo Sosa has a higher OPS against right-handed pitching than Bryson Stott this year, too.
Well, then he should bat more
against
right.
Bryson Stott, 657 OPS against right-handed pitching. Edmundo Sosa, 721.
Yeah.
And it, yeah, hey, Joe, so there you go.
Go ahead, Tom.
Hey Joe, listen, man. I went down to the Eagles practice Sunday.
Nice
morning, man. Down in Novacare, man. I had a good time, man. I met Elliot. I took a picture with Howard. I sent it to Jimmy. He may be a show it to you if you get a chance.
Okay.
And I talked a little football with Elliot, man. I really enjoyed talking to Elliot.
Elliot's
man.
A good dude. Good, yeah,
man.
No
he
question.
Was like, man, he was like when I introduced myself, I said, man. I'm Tom from Dover. He's like, oh man, it's good to be able to put a face to it.
Tom, did he give you a hug?
No, he didn't give me a hug.
Nah, he doesn't care enough. He should have given you a hug, man.
I'd have hugged you, Tommy.
Maybe Tom's not a hugger.
You know what? You're right, Richie. I ain't no hugger. You ain't gonna have me out there
hugging. Yeah, that's all right.
All right, Tom,
hugging you anyway. Get ready.
Tom, we're gonna give you a chance to win those Eagles.
Trying to hug him.
Those Eagles Packers tickets at the Link. Not in Brazil, but to watch the game opening night at the Link. You gotta give me an answer here. Like the Phillies, what else was a bummer? Non-tragic bummer.
Let me say this to you.
What?
That's the reason why I called this morning.
Oh.
You know, I was giving them hell down there, you know, my agent and all the people with the Eagles. Because, you know, they always...
You said your agent?
Yeah, you know, the ticket agents.
Oh, okay. I thought he had an agent, too.
Because
listen to this.
So he's got sponsor for his calls now.
You got Scott Boris. You got Lee Steinberg. Who do you got? Yeah, you got David Falk?
Listen, check this out, Joe. This doesn't make any sense. They're going to have a watch party down there. First of all, that's a Philadelphia Eagles home game. I'm a season ticket holder. You mean to tell me you're going to charge me $30 and $15 for parking, right? But on top of that, I sit in club section. They charge me $5 more to sit in club section for a home game, man.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Tom. But if you were being charged for the game in Brazil, you'd have an argument. You're not being charged for that game. So I think it's no problem for them to charge you, who's otherwise not being charged, to come sit there for a cool experience. Look, you're not paying $100, $200 like a normal ticket. I got no problem with that. Tom, give me an answer. Tom, I need an answer. What was the bummer?
That's the bummer right there, guys.
All right, you got it, my man. So the bummer is being charged for watching the
Eagles. People are upset they
Eagles
lost a home game. I mean, that's...
No, I understand that.
I go to all of them, so, you know, we've lost a tailgate.
Yeah, but
I'm
you're
really upset.
But you're not being charged
no,
for it.
I just want to make sure
we all have our heads on straight. All right, coming up, what Rob Thompson said after the game last night, plus what Larry Anderson said, what Kyle Schwarber said. We'll get to a little bit on the Eagles. Jalen Hurts was something interesting yesterday, and more your phone calls and all this. Plus, Elliot, what he said about yesterday's practice, we'll get to that as well. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on a really heavy Phillies day, and it's a bad day because the Phillies freaking stunk last night again. Great to be with you on 94 WIP.
Hey, John, as you know, I am a very, very satisfied Window Nation customer. Have been for almost a decade. Most recently, they replaced all the windows in my sunroom. I am one of their 33,000 five-star reviews. That's because Window Nation is all about value.
And this August, they're giving you a great value during the Window Nation anniversary sale. Right now, buy two windows and get two free. There's no limit to how much you could save. Plus, you could save big with no interest or payments for 24 months.
Act now and you'll get an extra $250 credit too. Window Nation values your satisfaction in their quality, service, and affordability. That's why they stand behind their windows with a lifetime warranty.
Window Nation was also recently ranked highest on Forbes' list of best window installation companies, so you can trust Window Nation for high-quality, affordable windows. Stop paying more than you have.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, it's the Phillies, frankly, that are out of order. They are all out of whack. And right now, they're playing like a bad baseball team, and they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I mean, there's too much talent. The payroll's too high. There's just, you know, they played too well earlier this year to be playing like this. Second worst record since the All-Star break, in front of only the Chicago White Sox, who may finish with the worst record since 1900 in Major League Baseball. It has been a debacle lately. Your chance at 215-592-9494 to get it off your chest and weigh in on what we've seen. Also, what to do about it. Obviously, something like a team meeting. Yeah, do it. Don't not do it. It's time. Do it. Rob Thompson might have to start flipping over tables. Do that.
Attitude must change.
Yeah,
attitude must change first. If it requires Rob Thompson being the crazy, hey,
go for it.
Let's make an example out of someone. Yeah, do what you must.
The other thing, though, when it's like, right, what to be done, because this is where it really gets interesting, is how to reconfigure this. It's very easy to say, don't let Taiwan Walker pitch anymore. They shouldn't. They probably won't. Maybe he gets one more start. But it's not going to go on. This guy's cooked, okay? He's Arrieta at the end. He's done. Enough, okay? But that's easy. Where it gets harder is, with almost no one hitting, like Seltzer, if you want to change the lineup, and many people are saying, all right, change the lineup, even if just for change sake. Like, even if you don't think it necessarily seems to make sense, but just don't keep doing the same thing over and over. What would you change, James?
Yeah, so it's a great point. I just made the point, Bryson Stott, who's been a disaster, is batting fifth against right-handed pitching. What I would do is I would make it a meritocracy. Like, Edmundo Sosa plays every day until you hit. Wes Wilson.
Every day.
Yeah, Wes Wilson plays. Like,
Over who?
Over Brandon Marsh. Yep. In left field. I'll play Rojas and Wes Wilson for a night. Like, I'm getting these guys out of the lineup more. I'm not just rolling them out there every day and saying, go ahead, Brandon, figure it out. Like, I'm saying, guess what, Brandon? You're sitting on the bench today because Wes Wilson's a better hitter than you are right now. Like, is what it is. Like, for me, it's a meritocracy. If you hit, you play right now.
All right, sure. Rhea, you had an idea earlier I hadn't thought of. I think it's interesting. I'm less concerned than James initially was about who replaces him. Your idea was send Stott to the minors.
Yes. He needs a reset.
And I'm assuming you're thinking in a 10-day to two-week.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Go get your mind right.
Yeah.
Find a groove hitting against lesser pitching. Yeah. Remember how to hit. You know, I guess
Roy
in the meantime,
Halladay once went down to the minors. Okay,
he did. Now he was
young,
very early.
Well,
in his career.
But I mean, Stott's still young.
He is still pretty young.
So I mean, it's get right.
Look, they did it with Brett Myers back in 07, I think it was. Maybe it was 06. I think it was 07. They did it with Alvarado during 2022. You know, where they were both young-ish players, but also established Major League Baseball players. Is that some? I mean, look, the Eagles one time. Nelson Aguilar was in year, 2016.
Two or three.
Yeah, I feel like it was two.
I think he was
drafted in 2015.
Close to this level of established. Like Nelson Aguilar was
But this is only Stott's third year, John. Stott's not a seven-year player.
But Bryson Stott has had success in Major League Baseball. Nelson Aguilar was not someone that other people knew his name, that you know people in other cities were
aware
of. Other
than being a first-round pick.
He'd been a first-round pick, and they benched him for a game. They just said, you're sitting to get your head right.
I thought it was two. They told him, whatever it was.
No, it was one game.
Sit to get your head straight is unprecedented in
sports. Well, it's very rare in football, but I will say this. Aguilar came, I don't remember the very end of that year, but certainly 2017, that was the best year of his career.
It turned something around.
Yeah, so, you know, all right. So there's really two different aspects of this conversation today. The first is get it off your chest. I mean, what you've seen, let me do that for a moment here from my standpoint. This is a disgrace. They're too good to be playing like this. And really, it's no longer for me about the standings. I mean, it's a little bit about the standings, and it's going to be more about the standings if they keep getting closer and closer to other teams. Here's where they are right now, by the way. Six games up on the Braves. So still a fair – you might not feel comfortable, but, I mean, it is still a pretty comfortable lead with 43 games to go. At least it should be. But they're now a game and a half back of the Dodgers for the top spot in the league. They're two games up on the Brewers, who also lost last night for the bye, if you will, the number two seed. So that's where they are standings-wise. But to me, this isn't about standings today.
And by the way, they're also only two games up on the Padres and the Diamondbacks in terms of like... In terms of like if they pass the... Like the point is like they're just falling in the National League.
Understood. Okay, that makes sense. But to me, this isn't really so much about the standings as it is the product. Watching a Phillies game and what you feel what you experience based on what we see. What I saw last night was a team that the game was over in the first inning. The game, and by the way, as bad as Taiwan was, and he was horrible, okay, horrible, 3 runs in 3 innings, 2 runs in the first inning, the game shouldn't be over. My team has Bryce Harper, JT, my team's got Marsh, Trey Turner, Schwarber, Castellanos, whoever I'm forgetting. The game shouldn't be over, but that game was over in the first inning.
Hundreds of millions of dollars, you just said. You just listed hundreds of millions of dollars.
And by the way, the games in the first half of the year when we would get down in the first inning, and it was like, pish posh, it really doesn't matter. I know every at-bat will be thorough. I know these guys are going to be smart with the way they take. I know this will be, they're going to take the ball wherever it needs to go. They will battle back.
Here's
and
what
by
they
the
had,
sixth
John.
Inning, they'll be where they want to be, and we'll be, we'll win this.
John,
I had total faith that we would win, and it was disgusting. The 70% clip was real, and it was baseball real. That was unprecedented.
For a long time.
We got spoiled. I got spoiled. Now,
listen,
we see the other side of the coin.
Yeah, look, nobody expected that they should keep that pace up, okay? That was Seattle Mariners 0-1. Let's go try to win 100.
Like it now.
But they
This is a lifeless team right now.
Guys, this is the 97 Phillies right now.
Well, especially
this
after...
This is horrible.
After all the talk, we just got to get home. Just got to get in our own beds. Yeah. Got to get home. Home cooking.
Yeah.
And you put up a zero against the Marlins?
That sounded like a
are you kidding me?
Totally. Yeah. And again, for all of us as fans, after the experience with the Eagles last year from 10-1 to the ultimate crash and burn. No one's in the mood for this. All right. So there's that. Get it off your chest. The other part of the conversation is what to do about it. All right, don't pitch Taiwan again. Got it. But who do you bat second? Who do you bat fifth? Who do you bat where? Who do you bench? 215-592-9494. All of this is on the table. We're going to get to a little bit with the Eagles as well. Chuck in Mount Airy right now. Chuck, good morning.
Hey, Joe, what's up, Joe, John, Rhea, and my boy, Shelf, what's going on? How you feeling?
Hi, Chuck.
We're doing good,
and
buddy.
And Devin?
Oh, Devin's here, too. Devin, hey, Devin's not from Delco, though, so I can't speak.
I saw that yesterday.
That was funny.
That was good. That was really good.
Yeah, listen, the Phillies are done. Stick a fork in them. You know what I mean?
Well, they're not done,
Chuck.
I don't believe that's true.
Oh, my God. Look, come on, man.
They got 43 games left in the regular season.
Fried turkey. You ever say that? Thanksgiving. Serve them up. And
really? You really feel that way?
It pains me to say this. Yes. The team does nothing well. Nothing well.
Yeah, you're right. They're playing terrible baseball. They have 43 games left in the regular season, man.
That means nothing. Did you see this team yesterday, man?
Yes.
No, it was
disgusting.
Awful. It was disgusting.
Straight off. At home, they traded off everybody. The Marlins want to lose on purpose. And we lost to them 5-0 at home.
The Marlins were laughing at the Phillies last night. They're dancing around. The guy hits the home run. He's doing the with his arms up in the air. That guy should have been drilled. But the problem with drilling a guy like that is the Phillies do their own antics. I mean, the Phillies have been doing antics for five. A couple years ago, they'd get to first base and they'd wave back to the dugout. Hi, Mom! I got a hit, Mom. Enough. So that's where me as a Phillies fan, Chuck, I want to see a freaking Phillies pitcher drill one of those Marlins last night, but the Phillies don't have the moral high ground to do it because they basically do the same nonsense. Although right now they don't, because you got to actually get a hit to
gotta get on base, Joe.
Right, exactly.
Somebody got old before our eyes, man. No, I'm not done yet.
JT got old. No one else is old. JT's the one guy that got old.
Listen, this team got old before our eyes, I believe. And I'm telling you right now, you can say all you want to say, you could change this, you could do this, you can get on, you can hit a pitcher, you can hit a batter and all that. They just might not be good enough. You know what I mean? If pitching's not good enough outside of Willer, like I've been saying, Taiwan Walker is your fourth best starter.
Well, he's Taiwan Walker's a tenth starter. He's done. Yeah. Chuck, give me a bummer. Give me, like the Phillies enough, here, man. A non-tragic bummer.
Man, baby. I guess inflation, man. Hey, listen.
Inflation? What?
That's
tragic.
How, man?
You know what? Inflation's not a bad
That's
answer.
That's a pretty tragic bummer, though.
It can be tragic.
Like,
it's tragic. Honestly,
we're talking about livelihood.
Yeah, he's right.
It's
a little much.
Joe? I think that's
it is.
Okay.
No. It's no.
You think that's tragic?
Yes.
For some people,
be.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it makes it harder. But
do you want us to explain it to you during the break?
No, I don't need that. All right, so here's what I do need people to explain. Chuck just declared the season over. So I want to go back to the Eagles thing here for a moment, because when he said it, a game came to mind for me, and I want to see if you guys are thinking the same game. So I want to know from everyone, when did you feel last year the Eagles season was over? Now, let me just tell you, for me, I thought it was when they lost at home to Arizona.
Oh, my God. It's the exact same thing I thought.
I was out way before that.
What did you think,
so Gibbs? When I was in that stadium in Dallas, I was like, this team's not coming back. I sat on my pod with Elliot, and then after the Seattle game.
I don't remember that game. Remind me of the Dallas.
It was the game after San Francisco. They got whooped by San Francisco and then they got whooped.
That's right.
Whooped by Dallas, and then the Seattle game was next. So it was like the Dallas game, I was like, I don't think that what I said to Elliot was I don't think this defense can be fixed. I was like, I think this is over defensively. Seattle game happened, fully out.
Eagles were up 21-6 at the halftime.
Arizona, yeah.
They were ahead.
All right, Devin, can you remember when you thought it was over?
Seattle was sound the alarms. I think it was Arizona, and then the Giants game, that last Giants loss, was wow, this team has just fully given up.
Like, correct.
It was because at that point it was, you know, their previous record when they were 10-1 to start the season was still going to carry them into the playoffs. So it was like, okay, maybe they can figure it out. Kind of almost what we're doing with the Phillies
now. And also it had a smidgen of 2017 Eagles,
right,
who struggled down the stretch. Mm-hmm. Not for as long, but struggled, and it's like in Foles especially. But you're thinking, all right, maybe they didn't get it together. To me, when I saw the Giants game,
that was
no question it was done.
Awful.
But I felt like maybe the fourth quarter of the Arizona game, mm-hmm, I'm like, no, I didn't expect them to lose to the Giants. But to me, during the Arizona game, I did not expect them to win in the postseason.
Arizona, all I remember is they just ran all over the Eagles.
Well, Kyler Murray was pretty good.
Yeah,
he stinks.
Well, also Gannon did the onside kick thing that was really smart. Remember that?
I don't.
That we thought Sirianni should have done in the Super Bowl was
what
really
are you guys
the takeaway.
Doing? Like, why are you miring
this is about the Phillies. This isn't about
the had a 5-15 stretch in August last year. The team that won the World Series last year had a 5-15 stretch in August. They lost 9 straight at one point. Like, I get, like, to just against Chuck's point, because I'm not there today, but it's not over. Like,
no, it's not
over. Is too far.
I agree. Let's get to today's Twitter poll questions of the day. We got two different questions. They're both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. The all-new Chevrolet Traverse has arrived, and Armin has them in stock. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. All right, two different questions. One about hitters, one about pitchers. Hitters, whose struggles concern you the most? Is it Marsh, JT, Stott, or Turner? You can vote at SportsRadioWIP on Twitter. Pitchers, same question. Whose struggles concern you the most? Is it Alvarado, Nola, Christopher Sanchez, or Ranger Suarez? You can, of course, vote at SportsRadioWIP on Twitter. We don't want to completely forget about the Eagles today. Because you know, one, they're the Eagles, two, they're in training camp, and they got a preseason game tomorrow. Let me give you what Elliot wrote on Twitter yesterday to give you a synopsis from his perspective of Eagles practice yesterday. So, and of course, this is the most important practice, if you will, of camp, because it's against a different team. It's a joint practice. John, did you have these as a player? Were they in vogue back then?
No.
So you're kind of old at this point.
It's a pretty recent thing, though.
I think it's the last few years, like five years or something.
Yeah.
I got a little shot in at Richie. No, I mean, it does feel like the last 15 or so years it's been more of a thing. So
I think it's only been like the last like five-ish years or something.
Well, Chip was doing it with Belichick.
Yeah.
Chip did do it. Yeah, so that's
13
10 years
or 14,
ago.
Something like that.
They would do some things between the Cowboys and the Oakland Raiders back in the 90s.
Oxnard?
Yeah, where they would come together during camp.
Who named that town Oxnard?
Isn't it the most bizarre name?
Let's name a town, you know, Oxnard. Okay, all right. All right, here's what Elliot put up on Twitter, then we'll get right back to the phones. He said, he's specifically focusing a lot on Jalen, but some other stuff as well. Jalen Hurts training camp stats day 12 versus the Patriots in joint practice. And he's going to get to that, but he goes, the defense changed on Tuesday, but the results were the same. Jalen Hurts turned in another outstanding day of training camp. Hurts once again had no interceptions, bringing his streak up to 219 throws in training camp without an interception. Hurts had 3 highlight throws on the day. The first was a really nice pass down the left sideline to Devontae Smith in a 7-on-7. Hurts hit Smith in stride And in a game, it's possible it's a TD if Smith breaks a tackle. Hurts' best throw of the day, and maybe of camp, was a 30-ish yard TD to Saquon Barkley on a perfect wheel route, which, by the way, John, I don't remember them running much of that at all last year. The ball, again, this is Elliott's tweet, the ball could not have been thrown better, and Saquon did a nice job staying in bounds. Hurts also had a beautiful pass to A.J. Brown, hitting Brown on a crossing route. Hurts got the ball to Brown right before he got to the sideline, putting it over the fingertips of a defender. Hurts' only bad throw of the day was a pass to Dallas Goedert over the middle that was in tight coverage and nearly got tipped up for an interception, but it was not. Overall, Hurts had a strong day as the Eagles' first-team offense got the better of the Patriots' first-team defense. He was 24 of 28, one touchdown, no interceptions on 47 reps, and Elliott gives Jalen Hurts yesterday a grade of an A-. So good work by Jalen, good work by Elliott, obviously that chronicling sounds, it for us.
Thank you, Elliott, for chronicling that. 24 of 28.
Yeah.
That's a robust day of work compared to some of the scrimmage situation practices that we saw when we were out there. The ones were getting, I don't know, 4 snaps in a period. You know, this is great.
What year are you talking?
I think that was because it was before the preseason game. It was the Tuesday before the preseason game, and their backups got a lot of reps. It was apparently, according to Elliott, the only practice that was like that.
Gotcha.
Okay, great. But this is a lot of reps against a good team that's a different team where they're probably taking guys to the ground also. You know, this is higher intensity stuff where our starters were in.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's competitive. I mean,
it's a big deal. And Jalen's playing that well in that. This was the biggest test for the offense, for the communication, for everything else, for Jalen reading through it.
All right,
and he was 24-28, Joe.
No, I get it. All right, so all of that on the table, the Eagles, but obviously heaviest today on the fields. By the way, we'll talk to Elliott in about an hour, 8:30 today, more on yesterday's practice, and including parts
of
the defense.
Supposedly looked really well.
Yeah.
There was a Patriots beat writer, Dakota Randall from Nesson, tweeted out, he said, "I've lost track of how many sacks were generated by the Eagles'
good
defense."
Work.
So that's good to hear.
That's good work. All right.
How about that? And so, that's without really knowing what we got on the pass rusher front.
No, I like it. All right, so Elliott in about an hour. Phone calls. Phil's obviously just horrible right now. Dennis in Mount Laurel. Dennis, good morning.
Timber, how are you doing today,
sir? I mean, I can't say good. I mean, the Phillies freaking stink right now.
But the Eagles are pretty awesome.
And by the way, Dennis, I don't want to hear any talk, and I'm glad no caller said it, but I'm sure a few were thinking it. I don't want to hear anything about tired. All right? I know they're kind of tired. So are the other 29 teams in baseball that have played 120 games. You know, so was the Chiefs last year in November and December, I guess, when they had played, you know, 3/4 of their season, the Eagles had, and then the Chiefs kept going like the Energizer Bunny and won the Super Bowl again. So I don't want to hear tired. I don't want to hear any of that nonsense.
I agree with you on that. I want to go back to what Devin said earlier. The body language is very evident that it's bad.
Totally.
I mean, that hit me most last night. The first inning was terrible, but the body language, when they get thrown out at first and they, you know, zero back to go to the dugout, it's a listless walk.
It is.
And Rhea and Jimmy are absolutely correct. It's Trey Turner has not stopped. I could care less. Trey Turner was said to be one of the 10 best people in baseball when they brought him on board, according to Dombrowski. He's not playing like he's in the top 50 right now.
No, well, he's not. Look, I say this about Trey. The reason I'm less inclined to vote for him, and I know James had him and Rhea had him number one on the poll for who you're most concerned about. I would not, because I saw enough of him in August and September and April and I guess maybe a little part of May whenever he came back or got injured. Part of June, whenever he came back, part of July. Like, he on the whole, he's been pretty good this year. I can take a 3-week slump or whatever it's been from him. I'm more concerned about
his OPS is down to 805.
I understand.
When you combine
that's not close to good enough for him.
I get it. I'm more concerned about JT because I feel like the slide has begun of career regression, with his age at that position. I'm more concerned
about...
You're
not worried that Trey's career regression?
I'm not saying
Joe,
it's not on my mind.
He was injured, and they're being...
Which player?
JT. He was
injured.
Yeah,
but John, this is when catchers get old.
Yeah, he's 31. Think this is the beginning of the decline.
This is running back.
But we don't have to jump to where he's old and washed
up. I'm not saying he's washed up. I said the decline...
to where that won't happen. They're trying to prevent what you're
saying. But here's the deal. JT's best days... rearview mirror.
Without a doubt. And
rear view mirror.
The decline
offense?
Has begun. There is no question 100%. That with JT, the decline has begun. Yeah. Inarguable.
And by the
he's
way,
33.
And that's okay. Like,
he's 33.
It's not his fault.
It's expected.
It's not their fault. They signed him to a 5-year deal. This is year 4. Like, he's given them a little bit more in this contract, frankly, than I expected.
Me too, Joe. Me too.
So I accept him not being as good moving forward. I don't accept Bryson Stott not being as good. I don't accept Jose Alvarado not being as good. I mean, Dennis, go ahead.
I have another comment about the Phillies. If everybody takes a look at the September schedule, they only have 10 home games the entire month of September. They're on the road a lot, and they're not playing well on the road right now.
Well, they're also extremely lucky that Acuna and Strider got hurt.
By the way, it's not an easy schedule either. You know, they've got the Brewers still. They got Houston. They got
Royals,
Kansas City. Yeah, they got Atlanta multiple times. They got the Mets multiple times. Like, this is not like they got to. I mean, they have a pretty tough schedule the rest of the
way. All right, Dennis, give me an answer. What was a non-tragic bummer?
Angelo retiring.
Oh, man.
Am I shot right at us?
Sorry to be offended,
ouch.
Dennis. I mean, it is a bummer, but I mean,
of all the things you could have chosen, Dennis,
I mean,
take a shot at us.
I got to crank up one or two here because the soundboard's been
the effrontery.
Let's go, Junior Sopranto.
Where did he get the effrontery?
I'm going to tell Dennis to
you should keep your mouth shut.
Thanks, Dennis.
I'm going to go back to Arnold from the 70s and 80s.
What you talking about, Willis?
No, I mean, I don't, you're not wrong, but you're kind of not right, you know, if you catch my drift. All right, 215-592. I mean, talk about us, man. What the hell? All right. Let's talk about Rob Thomson. So, I do think his job is on the line. I said that yesterday. I'm sure more people feel that today than felt it yesterday when I first said it yesterday. I tend to think his job is not on the line this season, in the season. Although for some organizations it would be. Let's remember the Phillies in 1983 fired their manager, I believe the second half of the year. I think it was around July.
Yeah, that's rare. Unless it's like the White Sox and they're just like finishing it out. Yeah.
The rarest of rare was the Devils one time, and I think it was 2000. Lou Lamoriello, who's one of the all-time executives, he fired, who by the way, like, hired Rick Pitino at Providence, 86 or something. He was like the athletic director, or I don't know.
Lou Lamoriello did?
Yeah, it was something.
Wow.
I read a Pitino book and like Lamoriello, I don't know, whatever. But Lamoriello, a great hockey executive, before the playoffs, thought, I got a great team. I don't like the mojo. My coach, out. I think it was Larry Robinson in, and they won the Stanley Cup. James, didn't the Brewers a couple years ago, right before the playoffs, fire their manager? 10 games to go in a playoff.
I don't remember
Someone
that,
looked that
did
up.
They?
I think that happened about 5 to 10 years ago. But anyway, now, am I calling for Rob Thomson to be dismissed right now? Absolutely not. Is my mind open?
You're right, Joe. Ned Yost in 2017 fired during a playoff run.
12 games left in the season.
How about that? That is, I didn't remember that. Yeah. That is really weird.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm not calling for that today with Rob Thomson. What I'm telling you is, this team has too much talent.
Oh, it was actually 08. I'm sorry. It was actually in 08.
This team has too much talent to be playing like this. And he's got to do something. Look, we love Rob Thomson, the guy. We really love Rob Thomson, the guy. We appreciate what he's brought to the Phillies. I mean, they've won in a lot bigger clip in the last 2.5 years. And obviously they had in any time since Charlie in, 2011, 10, 9, 8, 7, going backwards. But this is unacceptable right now. Let's listen to Rob Thomson after the game. We're going to give you, maybe this is about a third of his press conference. The most poignant back and forth questions that were interesting. This is about a minute and a half. Listen to Rob Thomson after the game last night, then we'll react.
It's been a pretty prolonged stretch now. What makes you think things are going to get back on track?
Well, just because we've been through this before, maybe not this prolonged, but
you look at the numbers on the back of their baseball cards. I always bring that up. I believe in this team. They're resilient. They're tough. They care. I know we're going to turn around.
I've been reluctant to make changes. Do you feel like you've reached a point where you have to shake something out?
I'm getting close. I am. But we'll see tomorrow.
Does Marsh have to make more contact for you to keep putting him in your lineup right now?
He needs to make more contact, for sure.
You haven't really been much of a team meeting kind of guy since you've been here. I mean, is there anything you need to do on that end? Gather them together and talk to them?
Yeah, I'll think about it. But, I mean, I think about it all the time, you know. Is it time to do it? It depends on a lot of things. It depends on the attitude and where I think the guys' minds are at. And I think overall they're very solid right now. They're frustrated, you know, because they know that we're better than that. And our fans know that we're better than that. And we have very knowledgeable fans, and they let you know when you're not playing well. And, hey, it is what it is. That's the game.
All right, John.
You know, they need
first
to have,
crack.
They need to have a players only situation. They need to draw together. Maybe it's Bryce, maybe it's Schwarber, maybe it's JT.
Now, why do you go players only? I'm curious. You go there instead of
because it stabilizes. It just stabilizes things. That's where these are the guys who play, these are the guys who matter. It's guys, this is cutting time, basically. Like, it's put up or shut up, and we've got to draw together and be better. Let's just get it all off our chests. You know, like, open forum, but no coaches, and they're not going to hear what we're talking about because this is about us, the guys who play. Let's figure it out. And don't leave that room until you've figured out how to take the field with a new approach, with a new outlook, with a new attitude. That needs done now.
Yeah, so let me say this on that. I don't know what's better, player only or coach yelling at the players. I really don't.
Well, I think you can have both, certainly.
Well, maybe it should be both.
It's different for different situations.
One meeting
too.
At 1 o'clock, yeah. A second meeting at 2 yeah. o'clock. I don't know. Okay.
Well, yeah, Rob first, then they're like, hey, can you believe Rob yelled at us like that, guys? Yeah. Let's talk.
Right. All right. So maybe that. I do think I want to be clear in defense of Rob Thompson on this point. I think the players are far more culpable for what's going on than Rob Thompson. I think it would be really unfair. I think it would be really unfair to place Rob Thompson at the top of the leaderboard for who's at fault, okay? Because at the end of the day, the players are the ones that pitch, and the players are the ones that hit, and the players are the ones that have to hustle and show intensity or not. Okay. So I blame them more. But I also feel like Rob Thompson, it's gone on. Like, last night, obviously, it's pretty clear there has not been a team meeting because the way he answered that question, I think we can surmise
and also remember Trey Turner, like, last week said, mm-hmm. We don't need that. And that's for teams that don't show effort or whatever.
And to me, this is too long a slide
to not
have already done it.
It's got to be addressed. I mean, they can't. And you're right. The players are going to get him fired.
They might.
I mean, that's what's happening here.
Listen, it happens sometimes. And it is look, again, a 2-0 hole, not unacceptable. I mean, it's not unacceptable. It happens sometimes in baseball. It happened to happen last night.
It's not insurmountable.
It's not insurmountable. But matter of fact, I want to play some audio here for a moment. Let's play the first James Phillies. Do we call these highlights or lowlights? This would be when the other team, the Marlins, last night. So they scored two runs in the first, but then they're up. I think this is the third inning. This makes it 3-0. Now, first, I want you to listen to how dead Scott Fransky sounds. Because he has to call this track. I mean, I'm not ripping Fransky. He's a phenomenal announcer. But, I mean, in the first inning, I wanted to turn the TV off. I didn't, but I wanted to. So listen to Fransky's voice. Listen to the crowd. Listen to when the crowd realizes, all right, it's boo time. Like, just listen to the vibe. Third inning last night, a game that certainly was not and should not be insurmountable 2-0 or 3-0, but felt that way because we all know the way the Phillies looked.
The pitch, swing and a high fly ball left field. It's deep. Marsh is back, and he is out of room. And Jake Berger has hit another one.
Wow.
Soto home run to left. And it's his 23rd of the year. And The Marlins take a 3-0 lead.
I mean, just down. Everything's down. The booze. I mean, we got a team 19 games above 500. At that moment, 20 games above 500. At that moment, 7 games in front of the division with the Braves. Now 6, but at that moment, 7. You know, this should not be a situation where they just lay down and die like dogs. Last night, they were the Eagles against Tampa Bay in the playoffs. Now, the game wasn't as important, okay? But their effort, their intensity, their focus, their want, their will was equal, zero, okay, zero, same that the Eagles put out there versus the Bucs. By the way, we're also talking today a little bit about what to do about it. Let me give you a quick analogy, because there's some stuff you really can't change, and there's some stuff you can't. The Eagles should have benched James Bradberry before the playoff game, okay? They should have. Obviously, with like 37 different cornerbacks this year that supposedly can be starters, obviously one of them, or two of them, or five of them would have been better than James Bradberry in that playoff game last year. So Nick Sirianni should have recognized that before the playoff game. He chose not to or didn't, and so Bradberry, and they would have lost anyway, but Bradberry put together probably the worst playoff game we've ever seen an Eagles player have. All right, Phillies. I'm not saying it's easy to figure out what to change, because most of these guys got to keep playing. Now, if you want to say, here's an idea, Stubbs, you're out. Marchand, you're back. I'm playing you twice a week. Give me what you got. You're better than Stubbs.
Marchand might be better than JT right now.
Yeah, right. I don't want to hear about clubhouse culture. I don't want to hear about vibes. That's an idea.
Best player wins.
That's an idea. I still need someone to answer me. If you're going to move Trey out of two, who bats there? I'm not saying I know for sure what the answer should be. I mean, what is, John? What,
again, there's no one else. Five through nine is a black hole right now.
So if you were to move Trey down.
Sosa. Honestly, I'm not kidding. Man. I know it's crazy, but like, who would you rather have hit two? Seriously, right now. Like, would you want Bryson Stott in the 2-0? Like, absolutely not. Like,
how about moving JT? I mean, we could put JT at first.
Bet JT 8th.
Just try everything.
What about
everything.
Alec Bohm?
Try everything.
You need him in the 4-hole. Like, you have to. Bohm's
well,
one of the few guys who's hitting.
You don't have to anything.
You don't, but if you put him in the 2-hole, then who's batting 4? Like, Castellanos? Yeah.
I want to get to how it ended last night. So just listen for a moment. Again, listen to the crowd. Listen. This is the NBC Sports version. Tom McCarthy on the call. Listen to the end of the game.
Backhanded at second base. One-hop throw. And it's in time to get Stott. Otto Lopez with a heck of a play. And the Phillies, with not much action tonight, lose it by a final score of 5-0. They were shut out for the...
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Turner was said to be one of the 10 best people in baseball when they brought him on board, according to Dombrowski. He's not playing like he's in the top 50 right now.
No, well, he's not. Look, I say this about Trey. The reason I'm less inclined to vote for him, and I know James had him and Rhea had him number one on the poll for who you're most concerned about. I would not, because I saw enough of him in August and September and April and I guess maybe a little part of May whenever he came back or got injured, part of June whenever he came back, part of July. Like, he on the whole, he's been pretty good this year. I can take a 3-week slump or whatever it's been from him. I'm more concerned about
his OPS is down to 805.
I understand.
Joe.
I understand.
You combine
that's
it with how he started.
That's not close to good enough for him.
I get it. I'm more concerned about JT because I feel like the slide has begun of career regression with his age at that position. I'm more concerned.
You're not
about,
worried that Trey's career regression.
I'm not saying
Joe,
it's not on my mind.
He was injured, and they're being
which player?
JT. He was.
Yeah,
injured,
but John, this is when catchers. This is when catchers get old.
Yeah, he's 31. This is the beginning of the decline.
This is running back.
But we don't have to jump to where he's old and washed.
I'm not saying like, he's washed up. I said the decline
to where that won't happen. They're trying to prevent what you're.
But here's the deal: JT's best days. Rear view mirror.
Without a doubt. And rear view mirror. The decline
offense?
Has begun. There is no question 100%. That with JT, the decline has begun. Yeah. Inarguable.
And by the
he's
way,
33.
And that's okay. Like,
he's 33.
It's not his fault.
It's expected.
It's not their fault. They signed him to a 5-year deal. This is year 4. Like, he's given them a little bit more in this contract, frankly, than I expected.
Me too, Joe. Me too.
So I accept him not being as good moving forward. I don't accept Bryson Stott not being as good. I don't accept Jose Alvarado not being as good. I mean, Dennis, go ahead.
I have another comment about the Phillies. If everybody takes a look at the September schedule, they only have 10 home games the entire month of September. They're on the road a lot, and they're not playing well on the road right now.
Well, they're also extremely lucky that Acuna and
Strider.
By the way, it's not an easy schedule either. You know, they've got the Brewers still. They got Houston. They got
Royals,
Kansas City. Yeah, they got Atlanta multiple times. They got the Mets multiple times. Like, this is not like they got to. I mean, they have a pretty tough schedule the rest of the way.
All right, Dennis, give me an answer. What was a non-tragic bummer?
Angelo retiring.
Oh, man.
Am I shot right at us?
Are we to be offended,
ouch,
Dennis? I mean, it is a bummer, but I mean,
yeah, but I mean, like, of, all the things
very
you,
nice.
Of all the things you could have chosen, Dennis,
I mean, I'm a
take
little,
one shot at us.
Hold on, let me. I got to crank up one or two here because the soundboard's been
the effrontery.
Let's go, Junior Sopranto.
Where did he get the effrontery?
I'm going to tell Dennis to
you keep your mouth shut.
Thanks, Dennis.
I'm going to go back to Arnold from the 70s and 80s.
What you talking about, Willis?
No, I mean, I don't, you're not wrong, but you're kind of not right, you know, if you catch my drift. All right, 215-592. I mean, talk about us, man. What the hell? All right. Let's talk about Rob Thomson. So, I do think his job is on the line. I said that yesterday. I'm sure more people feel that today than felt it yesterday when I first said it yesterday. I tend to think his job is not on the line this season, in the season. Although for some organizations it would be. Let's remember the Phillies in 1983 fired their manager, in I believe the second half of the year. I think it was around July.
Yeah, that's rare. Like the second half, unless it's like the White Sox and they're just like finishing it out. Yeah.
The rarest of rare was the Devils one time, and I think it was 2000. Lou Lamoriello, who's one of the all-time executives, he fired, who by the way, like, hired Rick Pitino at Providence, 86 or something. He was like the athletic director, or I don't know, whatever.
Lou Lamoriello did?
Yeah, it was something.
Wow.
I read a Pitino book and like Lamoriello, I don't know, whatever. But Lamoriello, a great hockey executive, before the playoffs, thought, I got a great team. I don't like the mojo. My coach, out. I think it was Larry Robinson in, and they won the Stanley Cup. James, didn't the Brewers a couple years ago, right before the playoffs, fire their manager? 10 games to go in a playoff.
I don't remember
someone looked that
up. They?
I think that happened about 5 to 10 years ago. But anyway, now, am I calling for Rob Thomson to be dismissed right now? Absolutely not. Is my mind open?
You're right, Joe. Ned Yost in 2017 fired during a playoff run.
12 games left in the season.
How about that? That is, I didn't remember that. Yeah. That is really weird.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm not calling for that today with Rob Thomson. What I'm telling you is, this team has too much talent.
Oh, it was actually 08. I'm sorry. It was actually in 08.
This team has too much talent to be playing like this. And he's got to do something. Look, we love Rob Thomson, the guy. We really love Rob Thomson, the guy. We appreciate what he's brought to the Phillies. I mean, they've won in a lot bigger clip in the last 2.5 years. And obviously they had in any time since Charlie in, 2011, 10, 9, 8, 7, going backwards. But this is unacceptable right now. Let's listen to Rob Thomson after the game. We're going to give you, maybe this is about a third of his press conference, the most poignant back and forth questions that were interesting. This is about a minute and a half. Listen to Rob Thomson after the game last night, then we'll react.
It's been a pretty prolonged stretch now. What makes you think things are going to get back on track?
Well, just because we've been through this before, maybe not this prolonged, but you look at the numbers on the back of their baseball cards. I always bring that up. I believe in this team. They're resilient. They're tough. They care. I know we're going to turn around.
I've been reluctant to make changes. Do you feel like you've reached a point where you have to shake something out?
I'm getting close. I am. But we'll see tomorrow.
Does Marsh have to make more contact for you to keep putting him in your lineup right now?
He needs to make more contact for sure.
You haven't really been much of a, a team meeting kind of guy since you've been here. I mean, is there anything you need to do on that end? Gather them together, talk to them?
Yeah, I'll think about it. But, I mean, I think about it all the time, you know. Is it time to do it? It depends on a lot of things. It depends on the attitude and where I think our the guys' minds are at. And I think overall they're very solid right now. They're frustrated, you know, because they know that we're better than that. And our fans know that we're better than that. And we have very knowledgeable fans, and they let you know when you're not playing well. And, hey, that's... It is what it is. That's the game.
All right, John.
You know, they need
first
to have,
crack.
They need to have a players only situation. They need to draw together. Maybe it's Bryce. Maybe it's Schwarber. Maybe it's JT.
Now, why do you go players only? I'm curious. You go there instead of
because it stabilizes. It just stabilizes things. That's where these are the guys who play. These are the guys who matter. It's guys. This is cutting time, basically. Like, it's put up or shut up, and we've got to draw together and be better. Let's just get it all off our chest. You know, like, open forum, but no coaches, and they're not going to hear what we're talking about because this is about us, the guys who play. Let's figure it out. And don't leave that room until you've figured out how to take the field with a new approach, with a new outlook, with a new attitude. That needs done now.
Yeah, so let me say this on that. I don't know what's better, player only or coach yelling at the players. I really don't.
Well, I think you can have both, certainly.
Well, maybe it should be both.
It's different for different situations.
One meeting
too.
At 1 o'clock, yeah. A second meeting at 2 o'clock. Yes. I don't know. Okay.
Well, yeah, you know, Rob first, then they're like, hey, can you believe Rob yelled at us like that, guys? Yeah. Let's talk.
Right. All right. So maybe that. I do think I want to be clear in defense of Rob Thompson on this point. I think the players are far more culpable for what's going on than Rob Thompson. I think it would be really unfair. I think it would be really unfair to place Rob Thompson at the top of the leaderboard for who's at fault, okay? Because at the end of the day, the players are the ones that pitch, and the players are the ones that hit, and the players are the ones that have to hustle and show intensity or not, okay? So I blame them more. But I also feel like Rob Thompson... It's gone on, like last night, obviously it's pretty clear there has not been a team meeting because the way he answered that question, I think we can surmise
he has. And also remember Trey Turner, like last week said, mm-hmm. We don't need that. That's for teams that don't show effort or whatever.
And to me, this is too long a slide
to not
have already done it.
It's got to be addressed. I mean, they can't, and you're right, the players are going to get him fired.
They might.
I mean, that's what's happening here.
Listen, it happens sometimes, and it is... It is look, again, a 2-0 hole, not unacceptable. I mean, it's not unacceptable. It happens sometimes in baseball. It happened to happen last night.
It's not insurmountable.
It's not insurmountable. But matter of fact, I want to play some audio here for a moment. Let's play the first James Phillies. Do we call these highlights or lowlights? This would be when the other team, the Marlins, last night. So they scored two runs in the first, but then they're up. I think this is the third inning. This makes it 3-0. Now, first, I want you to listen to how dead Scott Fransky sounds. Because he has to call this Dreck. I mean, I'm not ripping Fransky. He's a phenomenal announcer. But, I mean, in the first inning, I wanted to turn the TV off. I didn't, but I wanted to. So listen to Fransky's voice. Listen to the crowd. Listen to when the crowd realizes, all right, it's boo time. Like, just listen to the vibe. Third inning last night, a game that, certainly was not and should not be insurmountable 2-0 or 3-0, but felt that way because we all know the way the Phillies looked.
The pitch, swing and a high fly ball left field. It's deep. Marsh is back and he is out of room. And Jake Berger has hit another one.
Wow.
Soto home run to left. And it's his 23rd of the year. And the Marlins take a 3-0 lead.
I mean, just down. Everything's down. The boos. I mean, we got a team 19 games above 500. At that moment, 20 games above 500. At that moment, 7 games in front of the division with the Braves. Now 6, but at that moment, 7. You know, this should not be a situation where they just lay down and die like dogs. Last night, they were the Eagles against Tampa Bay in the playoffs. Now, the game wasn't as important, okay? But their effort, their intensity, their focus, their want, their will was equal, zero, same that the Eagles put out there versus the Bucs. By the way, we're also talking today a little bit about what to do about it. Let me give you a quick analogy, because there's some stuff you really can't change, and there's some stuff you can't. The Eagles should have benched James Bradberry before the playoff game. Okay, they should have. Obviously, with like 37 different cornerbacks this year that supposedly can be starters, obviously one of them, or two of them, or five of them would have been better than James Bradberry in that playoff game last year. So Nick Sirianni should have recognized that before the playoff game. He chose not to or didn't, and so Bradberry, and they would have lost anyway, but Bradberry put together probably the worst playoff game we've ever seen an Eagles player have. All right, Phillies. I'm not saying it's easy to figure out what to change, because most of these guys got to keep playing. Now, if you want to say, here's an idea, Stubbs, you're out. Marchand, you're back. I'm playing you twice a week. Give me what you got. You're better than Stubbs.
Marchand might be better than JT right now.
Yeah, right. I don't want to hear about clubhouse culture. I don't want to hear about vibes. That's an idea.
Best player wins.
That's an idea. I still need someone to answer me. If you're going to move Trey out of two, who bats there? I'm not saying I know for sure what the answer should be. I mean, what is, John? What,
again, there's no one else. Five through nine is a black hole right now.
So if you were to move Trey down.
Sosa. Honestly, I'm not kidding. Man. I know it's crazy, but like, so who else?
What about
who
moving...
would you rather have hit two? Seriously, right now. Like, would you want Bryson Stott in the 2-0? Like, absolutely not. Like,
how about moving JT? I mean,
JT stinks.
We could put JT at first.
Bet JT eighth.
Just try everything.
You need him in the 4-hole. Like, you have to. Bohm's one of the few guys who's hitting.
You don't have to anything.
You don't, but if you put him in the 2-0, then who's betting 4? Like Castellanos? Yeah.
I want to get to how it ended last night. So just listen for a moment. Again, listen to the crowd. Listen. This is the NBC Sports version. Tom McCarthy on the call. Listen to the end of the game.
Backhanded at second base. One hop throw. And it's in time to get Stott. Otto Lopez with a heck of a play. And the Phillies, with not much action tonight, lose it by a final score of 5-0. They were shut out for the fourth time this season. And this is not the way they anticipated beginning this homestand.
It's ridiculous. I mean, again, I can accept my team losing. I can't accept my team not showing up. I can't. I can't accept this much losing with this much talent. It's unacceptable. I mean, I would guys, this is like they're playing like the freaking Sixers when they were tanking.
Well,
this is
and that's why I just expect it will end soon.
Well,
we've been saying that for too long.
And John, we expected that with the Eagles.
And it has stop expecting.
I agree, James. It's now terrifying. It is stretched to where it's like, holy cow. It has gone past where it feels like it's just automatic, where they can press a button, flip a switch.
It's ridiculous.
I'm worried that we can't get back to being passable. You know, this team, we are playing nowhere close.
Look, here's the best news. The best news the Phillies have going for them. They're still totally going to make the playoffs. Guys,
and it's August 14th is the other best news.
They are 10 games up on a playoff spot. They could lose the division, but they're 10 games up on a playoff spot with 43 games to go. I don't think they're going to lose that, okay? But this is horrible. One more piece of audio.
You win the playoffs, great, and then what happens?
One more piece of audio, and then right back to the phones. Larry Anderson, right after the game. So Fransky and him wrap up the game. But now it's how you're feeling right after the game. Here's Larry Anderson last night on WIP.
They got to bust it all the time. When they're not doing it, they got to have somebody on that staff, somebody on that roster that's going to say something to somebody as a player, not as a manager, not as a coach. Do it as a player. It should happen.
It should. That's exactly right. Phone calls. Let's roll. 215-592-9494. Again, two really different things. One, how you feel. Get it off your chest. Two, what would you do about it? Who you benching, who you cutting, who you moving in the lineup, what are you doing? Scott and King of Prussia. Scott, what's going on, buddy?
Good morning. Thank you all for coming.
Yeah.
All right. Just a reminder, it's August 14th.
Mm-hmm.
We are 6 games up, and we have 40 to go before I get started here.
Mm-hmm.
Last night we got pantsed by a AAA pitcher who throws 85 miles per hour. Okay? That's about as bad as it gets. The thing that one of the game notes that I wrote out was Turner didn't run out another ball. On this program, Ruben Amaro told us that would not happen again. He told us that it was addressed and that he wouldn't say who addressed it or how, but it was addressed and it wouldn't happen. Well, it did. It happened again. His ass needs to go to the bench, okay? Messages need to be sent by a manager to shake things up when these types of things happen. Now, what to do? What to do to shake this up?
You need to fix what you can, and that's pitching and defense, okay? Your top guys need to come through. You obviously can't replace the Harpers and those guys. They have to stay hitting. But what you can do is you can improve your defense. You can shore up the middle by putting Sosa back to shortstop, stop back to second. You're now shoring up the middle of the defense for the pitching.
And, Hunter, just Turner where? I'm just trying to follow.
Okay, follow me. Turner moves to second base. Okay, and that is not something. Listen,
so you're platooning Turner and Stott is what you're saying.
Yeah, I am for right now until we get things going. I'm leaving Sosa at shortstop until he shows me that he can't do it. You have to shore up that defense. I'm putting Rojas in, and I'm going to live with him in center field for a little while because my pitchers need better defense up the middle. That's where we're. As soon as Turner went back to shortstop, the pitching went to hell.
Okay? We haven't talked enough about how bad. I mean, we've talked about the offensive slumps for Turner. I mean, again, last night, he's a disaster at shortstop. Yep. He is a bad shortstop.
I tried to mention to everybody that when we signed Turner, his shortstop days were over. It's why the Dodgers didn't re-sign him. Okay. The move is to put Sosa at short, shore up the middle. These are the things you got to do. Now, as a manager, here's another thing to consider. You can do a full shakeup. It's like throwing cold water on these guys. And when I say a full shakeup, I'm talking about something radical. Just for a couple of games, just as a shakeup. What you do is you make a lineup that is completely different than anything you haven't seen. And what I mean by that is this. I'm going to lead off Harper. Okay? It works for Ohtani. It can absolutely work here. We haven't seen it. Let him lead off. See what happens with it. You need to shake the
I don't think
up.
It's the craziest idea, Scott.
No, I don't either.
I really don't.
I don't either. Schwarber's not the problem, but like if you're going to shake it up, it makes sense. Like if you're
That's right.
You know?
And then Harper gets the most at-bats on the team, which
is
one positive because he's the best player on the team.
Fix the defense, shore up the defense, the middle infield and center field. Your pitchers will improve. I'm telling you that your pitchers will improve. They're throwing 10 more pitches per inning because of the defense.
Well, it's not per inning, but it might be per game. Scott, give me an answer. Give me a bummer that's a non-tragic bummer. Phils aren't a tragedy,
all right.
But it's annoying the hell out of us.
This one is tragic. Imagine if you were the bidet assigned to Joe DeCamera's home bathroom.
We said no tragic.
Let me tell you something, Scott. Yesterday, back from the cruise.
Oh, God. Don't stop.
With Tickle Tuesday.
Oh, man.
Love Tickle Tuesday.
By the way, Ruben was not talking about that would never happen again. He was referencing JT not being used to pinch hit.
Well, that's certainly what he was saying yesterday.
Oh, no,
I didn't know if he was talking
he might
about something
on
last
broadcast.
Week.
He might have, but yeah, I just want
to Scott's point, I agree with him. Turner didn't run the one out on the West Coast again. Like I would bench these guys. Yeah. Like I'm at that point now where in that situation, like you know, I'm okay with not running every ball out. Like if it's a sharp ground or a second, the guy has it. Like I don't need you busting it down. But there are situations where you have to bust it down, and when you don't do it in these situations, when you're struggling, you need every base you can get. Like I do think the manager has to do something
and I'm going to put some of this back on Bryce because you know the reality is I understand the concept of picking your spots at times, but a couple weeks ago when he picked his spot with two outs in the ninth inning and didn't run a first base, that's a bad tone center, man. Two outs in the ninth, you hit a ball to whatever, first or second, whatever the hell that ball went to, and you don't bust it. Like that don't work for me, man.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.